is it.
Here we are.
Yeah, our very first Facebook
our
stream.
Our very first Facebook.
Exactly.
Wow, that's just, I'm so nervous that I'm on the internet. We are live streaming. This is a Comedy Film Nerds episode 414.
A podcast live. It just it doesn't feel right.
It just seems weird.
Yeah.
It seems it seems inhuman.
Yeah.
it seems unnatural. It seems like
so
it goes against the natural order of things.
So if you're stumbling on this by accident, welcome.
Yeah.
You know, on Facebook. And, you know, we may do more of these in the future.
Yeah, I want to.
Because now the people listening to the podcast are like, oh, if it was on Facebook Live,
I would have
been on
that.
Facebook.
I would have done that on Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
There it is on All Things Comedy. I'm going to push this out.
Yeah, you can push it out to your own page?
To my own page.
I'm going to see if I could do mine too. So
I'm going to just say, look right now. Look at this. Watch us talk movies live, ! Look at that. That's
nice.
Going out to my personal page. Now we're going to do it to the professional. This is exciting if you're just listening at home. This is really got to be fun for you. This is really fun for you.
We got a big show. We're going to be talking about Chappaquiddick, A Quiet Place, some great trailers, some DVD releases, and of course, some new movies coming out, and a lot of DVD releases this week. But before we get started, any announcements, Graham? Anything to report? Or should we just get to introducing our two phoned guests?
You said that like a big was I supposed to? Was there something I was supposed to say?
You know that announcement, Graham? You're supposed to
yeah, the big one. This is it, you guys. I'm gonna keep you guessing for another week until I figure out what it is. But here we are.
It's, we're on Facebook Live. That's the announcement.
That's the big announcement.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, everybody who just stumbled across us at the internet.
So
hello, internet.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome. Let's introduce. I guess first time guest.
First time guest. Yep. We've had a lot of
two time phones.
First time guest. She's already mad at us and regretting saying yes.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I like our guests. I like our guests to come in here and go, oh shit.
It's rare when somebody comes in and goes, I need two chargers. So
you're not gonna let it go. Fantastic.
No.
Our guest is a comic who's who just recorded her episode of the FNX Comedy Experience, and which will be out in, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks, I think, Shoshone Livingston.
You're the one that should know.
I know.
I look at you, Chris.
Is that my announcement? Is that...
How can you not give a fuck even less? It's coming out. Well, I don't know, and don't give a fuck. Here's our guest.
No, I care.
Really?
There's many things. I have to figure them all out. All right, so I got to remember.
We're changing the topic.
That is a great excuse, by the way.
I'm trying to remember. I've got 13 episodes in my head.
It's production. There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
I got to figure them all out.
I got to put them in a row. They're like ducks.
Yeah, yeah.
When ducks walk around,
there are a lot of things.
If I had a second phone, I could figure this all out, Chris.
I know.
I'm walking around like a one phone gypsy.
I know.
You'd have one thing on one phone.
Yes.
And one thing on the other phone, and then you'd be able to figure them out separately.
One phone upmanship is what it is.
All right. Here's the issues. I just need to remember.
Personal or professional?
No, we're not getting into personal. That we do not have time. Repeat. Do not have time. I just need to remember what episode number you were on, Shoshone.
Well, I was hoping you could tell me.
I'm about to tell you right now.
Oh, okay. So I don't know. You know, just so you know, they said don't speak until you're spoken to. So
yes,
for future
on the show
guests.
That she was being a good guest. She was waiting to be introduced.
Absolutely.
That's what was going on.
Not every guest follows that protocol.
I'm the worst at that. I always jump in well before I should have. You were on episode... Okay, Shoshone, you were on episode 10.
Can we start now?
Which means your episode airs May 11th. So you can see Shoshone tell jokes on the FNX Comedy Experience May 11th at 9 p.m. Pacific time, midnight Eastern. And she was on the show with Beef Archambeau, Luz Pezos, and Chuck Cease.
Excellent. Yay. So check it out.
It's a fun show.
All right. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about Chappaquiddick. Because this was the kind of movie that, you know, everyone knows the story. It's like, it's an interesting timing of a movie like, you know, Why Now? And like, yeah. what is this movie bringing to the table that is an insight or something that we didn't know or in a new perspective?
Well, Shoshone, you go first. What did you think of this film?
I thought they should have called it Chappaquit. Because it was just bullshit. That's where we're going with that. Do you guys have... I'm trying to get some Wi-Fi. I can't get them on either phones.
Yeah, here you go.
Here's your Wi-Fi code.
Mm-hmm.
Can we start now?
Yes. Yeah, please do.
Well, so what
didn't you like about Chappaquiddick?
Well, I don't know. I do know. I kind of am hesitant to watch movies that are real-life events going to film because... like I was telling Graham earlier, it's a finite medium. There's only so many pages, only so many minutes. And oftentimes the story takes precedent over the actual facts or what really happened. So in telling the story to make it interesting or entertainment in that, that's what films are. It just, they make things up and then, you know, so I'd rather just see a documentary or read it.
What do you think was one of the things that, like, was Hollywoodized?
The beginning when no one was there, just him and homegirl who he drowned, and they're just going to be like, a camera there? No, that didn't happen. But, I mean, I understand it was for the audience, you know, but that's also putting a narrative to the events that happened. So it's just really frustrating to me because I'm like, well, what really did happen? And... I guess that's the question overall, but still, what gives them the motherfucking right?
I think that's a good point, and that's we've talked about this a lot on the show of the biopic,
right?
And
it's never going to be exactly.
It's never. It's like, and I always have that same question of like, well, I'd rather watch a doc. Sometimes, depending on how they execute it, because what I think when biopics are done correctly is they show you all the stuff that. A documentary can't. They show the dramatization, the human, you know, emotion to this, the reaction to it.
They're structured differently,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So this film, you know, I think you know Jason Clark did a good job.
How was his Kennedy accent?
It was pretty good. He didn't. Yeah. That's always such a thing. Like, is he going to over? People, actors always like
over New England.
Oh yeah, over Kennedy it up. Like, I was driving on the bridge or whatever. Like, is it going to be
chowder? Say chowder.
Chowder. But what the? You know, for me, this film was kind of significant only just because you know. So my Irish grandmother, like, you couldn't say a bad word about the Kennedys or. The Catholic Church growing up. And so I was so told as a child that the Kennedys were so great. They were so great. And then as I got older, I was like, well, wait a minute. And I think this film did a pretty good job.
The Catholic Church, okay, but the Kennedys.
The Catholic Church, they're great. So the Kennedys, you know, are still in many circles, still revered, right? As, oh, and there's all this. And some of it is justified of what would have happened if JFK and Bobby hadn't been assassinated.
Right.
Look what they were trying to do. And, you know, right. Bobby was going to stop the Vietnam War. And, okay, great. But what this movie, I thought, did a good job of doing was showing the Kennedy machine just ramping into place. This kid's got a problem. And who gives a shit about truth? It's just... cover it, hide it, how do we spin this? And their control, especially over New England, of just like this team of Kennedy people. And so if you're kind of a historian, I mean, I like that. I've studied a lot of the history of that era. So it's like...
Shades of modern times then on cover-ups and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty good at it. I mean, it's that old school, you know, Bruce Dern who has not... He's not in a lot of scenes, but he plays like old hobbled Joe Kennedy... And he's just like, alibi. Just like, so But I mean, like,
I thought you were gonna say Rosebud.
I mean, that's who he is. I mean, he's an actual. I mean, so he calls this team of people here, and in the room are like Robert McNamara, and so that era is very fascinating to me. And if you want to study, if you want to know about Robert McNamara, I've said this before. It's a great documentary, The Fog of War, where Robert McNamara talks about being in both Kennedy, well, in JFK and LBJ's cabinet, and how the Vietnam War got escalated. That's a it's a fascinating documentary. But you see, you know, an actor is playing young Bob McNamara, and they're all just like these powerful white dudes are just like, well, this is how we're going to spin this, and this is how we're going to manipulate the media, and this is how we're going to get out ahead of this. And then Jason Clarke plays sort of Teddy was the bumbling one, right? And they mentioned this numerous times, right? Joe Jr. was, he was supposed to be the first president, and he died in World War II. JFK was Camelot. Bobby was the smart one. And then here's dummy Ted. And that was where I had, as a structure of a film, where I started the movie, I lost my faith in it a little, because
they were trying to make like a Groundlings ensemble.
I like that critique.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
But like, there was moments in the movie where they're showing Teddy being bumbling, and it was done in sort of a wacky way. Like the audience laughed, and I sort of was like, they're covering up a dead girl, like, and I
this
just,
actually happened.
This actually happened. It actually was covered up by these actual people. And so, you know, Ed Helms' character was sort of the one, like, voice of reason. And it just the tone, I was like, this is not silly. This is not, and the trailer's not that, and so many other aspects of the movie aren't. But just like, oh, Teddy is a bumbler. And so it was like, I don't know.
What did you? I agree with you. Definitely. I saw Ed Helms' character doing the same face that he did in Hungover. What is it?
The Hangover.
Yeah. The Hangover. Well, Hungover. Well, I'm feeling a little. yeah, it's the same face he was making. It did it twice, three times a lady. I don't know. But I was like, okay, so. But I agree that people were laughing, and it was, but it, being that it was a dramatic piece, I know there are elements in the, sometimes they have to have these moments of humor just to kind of let up, you know, to tell the story further or just to not bore the audience. But yeah, I still think that, I mean, I think the protagonist did a great, the lead did a great job of, but yeah, he was just befuddled too much. And also, I feel it was... this is what we were talking about earlier. It was after the inciting incident, after she died, or he drowned, or some man killed some woman. It was just one note from there. I mean, there was no real crescendo, if you will.
I think that's and that was part of the. I think Ed Helms. I get that he, and I'm sure his agents are like trying to get him into the dramatic.
Now, what about like?
But he was miscast.
Interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I mean, he did a good job. And, you know, it was great to see, you know, some comedians, you know, in a dramatic piece. But it just didn't, it just didn't work for me.
Any nomination-worthy performances or was...
No. That's why you watched this and you went, oh boy, they had Oscar intentions with this movie,
right.
And then you went, oh, the uneven tone of this for me is why somebody went, release it in April,
right?
You know, because it you know, you have Jason Clarke. Now he's been in a lot. I can't remember if he's been nominated or not, but he's been in some very Oscar heavy films.
Yes,
Zero Dark Thirty. He's he's got a small part, and then he's a really good actor, and this is something he's never done before, and so again. He pulled off the Kennedy, you know, the Kennedyisms without being a sketch character. But it just like, right. There was just a miscast. And then like Shoshone was saying, the one noteness of it, because it started out like, oh, wow. And you're seeing, they said, I mean, this is when it happened. It happened while the Apollo 11 was launching, you know, and that was part of this, which was cool. It was good filmmaking because it was part of the story because you hear all these guys going, well, pretty soon they're going to land on the moon and everyone will forget about Teddy's mm-hmm. little problem, you know? And,
distraction.
Yeah. But then it just, and they were trying to show Ted's dilemma. Because that's kind of what happened. I felt bad. I don't want to be president. And everyone's like, you're next in line. You know, that's it. Mm-hmm. Bobby got killed. Mm-hmm. It's you. And why didn't you just run in 68, mm-hmm. you know, like you were supposed to, and step in for your brother. So that sort of was interesting. And that's where I thought Jason Clark did a decent job. But then it just sort of, it wasn't enough. And it just sort of one note and, oh, well. I don't know, like they could have explored that better. And the relationship with him and Ed Helms' character, who Ed Helms is a sort of adopted son of the Kennedys, who's this trusted fixer. And that could have been explored better. But it's just hard because when you're watching, it's like Will Ferrell when he's trying to do serious stuff and he looks like he's about to laugh. You know what I mean? Or that's, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, and yeah. not, or that's just me as the comedy audience. And I think that's what sort of took it out of me for Ed Helms. Is that what did for you, Shoshone?
I thought he did a great acting job. I thought, and actually I paid attention to him more than the lead. So which is odd. How are you going to pay attention more to the supporting actor more than the lead? But I think maybe because his character had the strongest character arc, because in the beginning he was so... had so much love, you know? Mm. And then at the end, he was just like, I've lost all respect for you. So in that respect, I paid more attention to him.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, think about it. Like, old Teddy didn't have a huge character arc. He, you know what I mean? He mm-hmm. didn't grow as... No one else really grew. Everyone was... And I think that added to the fact that it was so monotone and so one note.
Yeah. I mean, there's interesting stuff in it, like the extras that play the captain and the deckhand on the ferry sequence were actually captains and deckhands on the boat, you know, back in the 60s, which is, they shot it out there in Massachusetts. It looked and felt.
In Rockport.
And, mm-hmm. They did a decent job with that. I mean, that's an interesting thing to overcome it's an interesting challenge every time you're doing a period piece. How can they get it? And who played Mary Jo Kopechne? I'm blanking. I'm going to bring up that actress's name. Kate Mara. She did a decent job in the beginning of her sort of dilemma.
I didn't realize Jim Gaffigan was in it.
Jim Gaffigan was in it, and he plays the Attorney General of the state of Massachusetts. And so... Yeah, I mean, it's all...
It's odd casting.
It is some odd casting. I think Jim Gaffigan was believable as that sort of era of guy. But Ed Helms, I don't know. Bruce Dern was great. Kate Mara was good as Mary Jo Kopechne. But mm-hmm. again, it's like Shoshone is saying, they sort of introduce stuff and then there just isn't a lot of arc.
Right.
It's really just sort of... So, I don't know. It's I'd love to know what the people listening and watching, what they think of it, because some people might really dig this. If you're a sort of Kennedy historian or Kennedy file, it's interesting in that capacity and how they address these actual events.
Kennedy file? I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Like a pedophile?
but yeah, they're...
It's where you only molest Kennedys.
Yeah.
Only molest Kennedy bad movies.
So it, yeah, I mean, I'd curious to know, like, if other people found it as uneven, as, like, Shoshone.
Well, sometimes a release date tells you a lot.
True. I thought Jim Gaffigan did a good job, too. And in the beginning, I had high hopes, just because I'm looking at this, and I don't know, you guys know what the Bechdel test is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I went into this movie, I was like, oh, great. We have these two women talking to each other. And
but what are they talking about?
Exactly. Exactly. And it seems like they're, because they're asking each other, what are you going to do for your future? Are you going to help, you know, run again. And she's like, no, I don't know. I'm not sure. But even though it seems like they're talking to each other about each other, they're really not. They're talking about, you know, they're introducing old Teddy. Because they alluded to the fact that, you know, she's having an affair with, you know, Senator Alibi. So that was kind of weird, you know. It was, but I mean, the hair was great. Whoever did the hair, amazing.
Yeah. So all it's right. Yeah. I'd be curious to see what other people think of it. It's that. That's just it. That's sort of the like. Okay, like there, you don't walk out like that was horrible, and you don't walk out going, "Man, that was amazing." Mm-hmm. You kind of walk out and go, "Huh."
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Somebody made a Chappaquiddick film.
All right. Now what's for dinner?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Look.
So
you saw A Quiet Place.
I saw A Quiet Place.
This movie's been hyped.
It's been audiences and critics agree. They're really enjoying it. And I have to say, after seeing it, there's a lot of things it did right. And there are some things it did wrong. It's a mixed bag. But it was, I think it's my Three Billboards, the way you reacted to Three Billboards. Like, there's some really good things in it, but there's some incredibly stupid things that suspension of disbelief becomes too heavy of a lift. So I couldn't do it towards the end. Now, I am going to give some minor spoilers because that's the only way I can talk about this movie. I won't spoil the ending, but about midway through. So if you don't want to know anything about the movie, you may want to fast forward. So here's the thing. The beginning of the movie, we're set up with the fact that there's been an alien invasion. These aliens, they track by sound, and everyone has to be quiet. Got it. Okay.
Yep. Saw that
but
in the trailer.
Yeah. So you're not really sure exactly what happened. Like, you see these, like, some newspaper clippings, like, you know, because the monsters are, like, hiding out in the woods. I'm like, well, then how did they get to the planet? Were they meteor surfing? Were they in spaceships? And, you know, that's for A, that's number one. I'm like, well, how did this happen? The next thing is that the things that this movie does really well is it's really well directed, it's really well cast. And it's really well acted. So
John Krasinski directed this.
John Krasinski directed, okay. And he does a really nice job. So what happens is when those things are so good, it overshadows the incredibly stupid parts of the film. So what happens is, like, Neil did a written review on the site, and he was saying, yeah, there's definitely some problems, but I overlooked them. I did not overlook them. they bothered me a fair amount. So before I get into that, I want to talk about one piece of trivia that I found really interesting that I'm very glad didn't happen. In an interview with the website Slash Film, screenwriters Scott Beck and Brian Woods revealed that Paramount Pictures originally intended to incorporate A Quiet Place into the Cloverfield film franchise.
This was going to just be one of these weird Cloverfield add-ons?
When we were talking about the executive there about the film, it felt from the pitch that there might be a crossover, but we finally took the final script to Paramount and saw it a totally different movie. Thank God. I mean, that would have been incredibly ridiculous. So Paramount finally decided to make the film as a wholly original standalone film. Now, one of the quotes from the writers, which I really like, is that one of our biggest fears was that the film was getting swept into some kind of franchise or repurposed for something like that. The reason I say biggest fear, we love the Cloverfield films. He had to say that. they're excellent. It's just that filmgoers crave new and original ideas, and we feel like so much of what's out there is IP. It's comic books, it's remakes, it's sequels. We show up to all of them, enjoy those movies too, but our dream was always to drop something different into the marketplace, so we feel grateful that Paramount embraced the movie as its own thing. That's a great response. Too bad there's so many stupid things in the movie. One of them is there's still electricity. That's after this invasion, and they're on a farmhouse. Clearly, they don't have a generator because that would make too much noise. So there's still electricity on the farmhouse.
Never explained where
the electricity comes from. And you're not sure how far society has collapsed. Yeah. And then there's a scene at the beginning of the film. This is, again, minor spoiler. It's a very poignant, tragic moment where, you know, they lose a child to one of the monsters. That happens in the first couple minutes of the film. So, but then they decide what happens in a few scenes later. She gets pregnant. So what makes more noise than a baby? And I will answer that question. A toddler. So if the baby actually makes it to being a toddler, so not only would you never do that as a parent, you would also, you would be putting your other children at risk from sound hunting monsters by actually having a baby. So they create these weird, like, ideas on how to keep the baby quiet, and it gets more and more ridiculous as we progress. The next thing was that...
And then they're like, what we need to do is make daiquiris.
Yes, exactly. And they just start in the blender. So, all right, no, put it in the, you know, in that little, in the comedy club bar casing. The
give the kids symbols.
Yes. So, and then there's another scene where, you know, she hurts herself. There's a nail sticking out. She hurts herself. She cries out. So clearly that's noise. It's going to call a monster. The monster is instantly in their house. So I'm like, no, wait a minute. If you live on a farm in a house and you know there's monsters in the woods, maybe close the door or maybe close the windows. I'm like, the monster, it was instantly in the house. So I get that hinges creak, but you could oil them. So, and I won't ruin the ending, but the ending was also like, what? Come on, really? Really? And one of the other things, too, is if your children are lost out in the woods with monsters running around, maybe you wouldn't leave the shotgun behind. So that's the other thing you may not do as a parent. But there's all these logic problems.
So when there's
problems,
quiet monsters,
like,
let me see if I got this right. Yeah. Bring the shotgun. Have a baby.
Yeah.
Oil the hinges.
Yeah. And then there's logic problems like you see, like, you're supposed to understand that society collapsed and we were unable to fight these monsters. Like, there's notes on, like, the newspaper clippings. Monsters, like, indestructible. Like, you know, can't find weakness. And then... I'm like, oh, the shotgun worked pretty well, you know. And
it
seems like that worked okay. Yeah.
There wasn't a headline.
Yeah,
use a shotgun.
Yes, there wasn't. So, so you have all these problems with the film. But like I said, it's such a mixed bag because, you know, the concept is so cool, the premise is so cool, the directing is so cool, the acting is good, with the exception of the character motivations. But you have because Krasinski and Blunt are husband and wife in real life, there's a chemistry between them that you don't often see in movies, too. So, and then the other thing that they did was one of the kids is actually deaf, Millicent Simmons. She'd been deaf since infancy, and this is her second film she starred in, with Wonderstruck being her first. And she did a really nice job in the film, and it made sense that, you know, they... So it was, like I said, it was a real mixed bag. Like, if you can really overlook the giant logic and plot holes in this movie, especially the ending, I went, oh my God, no, really?
But
I don't want to ruin that, but... so it was one of those movies where I think it's, as time progresses, more and more people are going to realize how kind of dumb some of it is.
Well, let me ask you this. So if you look here on the box office was estimated $17 million. It's done, looks like now over 70 million.
Huge numbers.
Which is making it huge.
Right.
Because usually low budget horror in this range doesn't have two fairly name stars in it.
No.
I mean, she's become a big star.
And this,
but
one of the things that this movie has going for it is it's like Get Out. It transcends the genre. It's not just like a horror movie. It's science fiction. It's thriller. It's a family drama. It's all those things kind of rolled into one. So what I think you have is a lot of non-horror fans. Like, they went to go see Get Out. They're going to go see this movie because they're Emily Blunt fans. They're John Krasinski fans. Or they, you know, it's an interesting premise. It's got a lot of hints of Signs. Remember that M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie? It's definitely, there's even like a couple shots where I'm like, oh, this looks like it came directly from Signs. So it was, if you can
overlook the plot. I guess the multi-genre is working now because now
yes.
there's not, you don't have just the one genre anymore. Everything
right.
is just like
And ultimately, if
romance
you,
horror, you know, just like
if you can, and if you can do it well, you can create a really interesting movie. Like, you know, Get Out proved that. And there's also been, you know, horror movies like The Babadook, who kind of like are really interesting and do different things with the genre. This is definitely one of those films that just it's just, you know, you could just drive a truck through some of the plot stuff in it where you're like, come on.
I would love to be in the writing room.
Yeah.
You know, especially when the kill your babies.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that conversation. Yeah.
I wonder,
kill your babies?
I want to know.
It's good.
It's a good point, though, that Shoshone brings up about the mixed genres and how, I wonder what's creating that. And I get why they're successful, because it's like,
because they have crossover appeal.
Sure, they have crossover appeal, but also it's just, I think it's, my guess of it is maybe Hollywood is so, can get so old and out of touch that they get stuck in these, well, it's a this movie or it's a that. Right. And when someone comes up with something inventive, especially in this era of people who have grown up without watching network TV, who, you know, if you're 18 or whatever, you've had the internet since you were three, you've had a smartphone since the sixth grade, you know, and that's where you get your entertainment. So why you don't need, you grew up in terms of just content, not, oh, let's go see the horror movie or let's watch this movie or this show at this time.
Yes.
So I guess that's why it appeals to people, is because it can be anything. And then also, if you've grown up with just content, you're seeing inventive stuff on YouTube, on Amazon, on Netflix or whatever.
You know, it's funny. It's like the dumb parts of this movie. I thought, oh, yeah, I could see them in a Cloverfield, shoot into a Cloverfield spinoff, the way like the Cloverfield Paradox or something like that, where they're like, oh, okay, this is shoehorned in. And it doesn't really fit or belong. Like, there's other ways the story could have gone and other things the characters could have done to make more sense for this world, but it didn't happen. So so I think in conclusion, I think I am going to be the outlier on this. A lot of people are loving it all the way through and forgiving the flaws. I thought the flaws were way too big. But there is a lot to like in this movie. I think Krasinski did a good job. The acting's good. And if you can get past the gaping plot holes, it's, you can enjoy 75% of the film. So wow,
that's a big ask, Chris.
Yeah.
So Corey Kolkman on Facebook just asked, what else has he directed? And heard it was his first horror movie. Yeah, this is John Krasinski's first. He's directed.
Are you getting live feedback, Graham?
We're getting live feedback. That's the advantage of the Facebook Live. So if I click on this John Krasinski link.
Yeah, it's definitely his first horror, but he's directed before.
He's directed some episodes of The Office, obviously, and he's directed one other Brief Interviews with Hideous Men and The Hollers, which I don't know what either of those are. But they sound...
Oh, like, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
You saw The Hollers?
I didn't see it, but I remember watching the trailer for it, and it's probably the same.
A man returns to a small hometown after learning his mother has fallen ill and is about to undergo surgery. Mm-hmm. John Krasinski. All right. Charlton Copley, Richard Jenkins.
Charlie Day. I don't know anyone who's seen this movie.
No? Cool. So, came out in August of 16.
Yeah, so... But, you know, it's an interesting thing. It's like, it made me want to see his next film. Like, you know, that kind of thing where, like, okay, well, he's done comedy dramas. Now he's done horror. Like, now that he's got these under his belt, I can't wait to see what he's going to do next and see what, you know, what he's going to mix or what he's going to do. So even if it's another horror movie, I'm on board. I would see it.
Sweet. All right. Who are our sponsors, Christopher?
We have some Patreon sponsors this week.
Oh, well, that sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And now this is Katie Bagwell's run is coming up in a couple weeks. And Will, her husband, emailed me and said, hey, you know what? Because of you guys, she's almost at her goal.
Well.
See how that Patreon money pays off?
You want to hit your bike MS goal, go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds.
And do it. And so you can help Katie Bagwell reach her goal. She's almost there. She's hoping the Kitten Hand Army will put her over the edge. And that's, well, not over the top, not over the edge.
Over the
that
edge.
Would be weird. Yeah.
We want all of you to push each other to the breaking point.
Yes. So so Bike MS, the money will help in MS research and help people with MS live their best lives. You can reach her page at bit.ly/KTMS150. If you can, help her achieve her goal. And of course, we have the Audacity Performing Arts Project, who are also still helping Katie Bagwell. You make a token donation to Audacity, $15. They'll send you a shirt and a thank you. And just use your, so you donate to Katie, donate to Audacity, you get a t-shirt. Use the donation link, audacityperformingarts.com/donate. audacityperformingarts.com/donate. And also we have supplyanddemandinvesting.com. Because planning for retirement should be as easy as planning your next vacation. It just takes longer. Supplyanddemandinvesting.com.
Yes.
All right. So, Graham, that's at the $50 level. Did you know that?
That's amazing, Chris. You get all of that at the $50 level?
That was the announcement at the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah, that's... So, we're still offering it. We're still offering the $50 level. So, check it out. As you can see, and you can tell by the other Patreon sponsors, it works. So, and it's only $50 a month.
There you go.
So, let's do some trailers, Graham.
Oh, my goodness. Let's watch some trailers. So, the first trailer is, there's a new Han Solo trailer.
Yes. Solo, a Star Wars story. New trailer just dropped. Let's check it out.
Let's see. Let's get everything queued up here. On mute. Here we go. Are you hearing that, Aaron?
Well, then we're not doing it says teaser. Yet. I don't know if this is the right one.
You're not hearing?
Oh, it's not plugged into it, the audio jack.
Well, you're not plugged into it. You know what I mean? This is...
Gentlemen, this is live.
You just ruined live.
Can we start right now?
Maybe we should... should we skip trailers for the live stream?
No.
No?
Trailers are good.
We gotta watch trailers, Chris. We don't have much to talk about after this. There we go.
Okay.
Oh, this is going to be so great. Boy, everyone watching live, this is the excitement that happens in the studio.
Yes.
If you were here, you could be
on sitting. Or off camera. This is, it never ends, the magic.
All right, here we go. Do you hear that?
Still not.
You know what? I don't need that kind of attitude.
I know. It's a little... It was the subtext. It
was the subtext. Oh, I hear it now.
Just kicked out of the slide.
I'll start over.
Yeah, this is the
Let's
wrong
start
trailer.
From the beginning. Let's start the show now.
This is not the right trailer.
Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 413.
I've been running scams on the street since I was 10.
But I already saw this trailer. It's the other trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's the other one?
The other, it's the new one that just dropped.
How did I find that?
So put new solo trailer.
You put new solo trailer. This is great.
Can Aaron remotely pilot that laptop from back there?
Solo trailer. All right, here we go, guys. This is going to be exciting.
Yep, one day ago. That's it.
One day ago. Official trailer. Holy shit.
Here we go. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So great. So amazing.
You're after something. Is it revenge?
Is that the Dothraki? From Game of Thrones?
Money. Or is it something else? You look good. A little rough around the edges, but good.
What about job? Then. Big shot gangster putting together crew.
I'm a driver, and I'm a flyer. I waited a long time for a shot like this.
What do you think?
Alibi!
You got a line on a ship?
Yeah, I know a guy. He's the best smuggler around.
I heard a story about you. I was wondering if it's true.
Everything you've heard about me is true.
L3!
Let go of the mean man's face.
Who are these guys?
If you come with us, you're in this life for good.
It's kind of an ultimatum.
Level up, baby.
Oh, I wonder what they're going to choose.
Spoiler alert.
Han Solo becomes a
smuggler.
Are those like the new school trains?
I think so.
Oh, that's like the most exciting.
I got a really good feeling about this.
Hey, I'll try your luck.
Since when do you know how to fly? 190 years old? You look great. Push it.
So far, my favorite character is the Millennium Falcon in this trailer.
I know. I just want to see a brand new Falcon.
I was interested in the little shot where they have the gun, you know?
Right.
On the side, the Clint Eastwood, make my day type shit.
Yeah,
I've been seeing that over and over again. I'm feeling like these...
This scene's a Western.
Yeah.
This scene's a science fiction. This scene's a chase movie.
The protagonist is basically the same one in the Western, the outlaw, you know? And it's like either it was the outlaw and then it became the gangster, you know? And then now it's like, I'm shooting aliens.
I think that is... So are you a huge Star Wars fan or no? No, you don't have...
No, but I appreciate. I mean, that's some good-ass shit.
So that's the thing. If that's the view of someone who's not, like, a diehard...
You know what it feels
that,
like?
That tells me that, like, this movie is too uneven.
It feels like... Right. It feels like a Star Wars fan film. Like, it feels like it was made by a fan... Just for the Star Wars fans. Like, I feel like, well, you have to know the story, you have to know the character. Like, you can't go in, like, Rogue One, I thought, was a really interesting, different story. Like, well, you could go into that movie not really knowing anything about Star Wars and just enjoy it on its own. This one, I feel like you have to be a Star Wars fan to even kind of get in the door on.
Yeah, but Star Wars is sacred. You can't just be fucking around with shit. I mean, that was a good story, you know, and now you want to just...
Well,
exactly. I agree with you completely. And I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but I mean, like I said, I respect it. And then this is like, oh, it's magnificent.
You like wonder, it's going to be all over the place. Well, that's what I worry
it
about.
It definitely looks like it's going to be all over the place. You wonder, too, like... The Force Awakens and Last Jedi, one of the reasons they were also so well received and so did so well is because we got to see our beloved characters again.
Mm-hmm.
But it also one of the reasons the prequels failed, well, they didn't fail, but they were not good, is, you know, do we really want to see any of these characters as younger people? Like, I think they're so... I think we just see... Han Solo is Harrison Ford. We just see Princess Leia as Carrie Fisher. Like, they're like, you know, Mark Hamill is Luke Skywalker. Like, do I, you know, a young Darth Vader in three movies. I'm like, do I care?
Right.
Really? Yeah, I don't know.
A young
Obi-Wan. I'm like,
it's a good point because those actors made those parts iconic.
So, exactly. Yeah.
So, you're watching, and then you're watching this kid try to be...
Harrison Ford.
Try to be Harrison Ford. Well, I've seen a young Harrison Ford.
Right, in American Graffiti. In
American Graffiti, and he's kind of a badass. So it's like, I don't, this kid wasn't it.
It was
like a kid dressing up to be Han Solo for Halloween.
He was cosplaying for a Ron Howard film.
Right. I think it's a studio's not wanting to go out on a ledge in anything real or creative. They're just like, okay, well, what's a predetermined market?
And also, you have a really troubled history with this movie. I mean, the director's fired halfway through, Ron Howard coming in to further ruin it. And so you don't know what's going to happen, you know,
Chris
when it's all put together.
Ron Howard.
So I don't know. I think, like you said, I think it's going to be uneven. And one of the reasons, too, is it's like how much footage was reshot, how much footage is being used, is how much, you know, how much stuff was, you know, changed or reused, repurposed, or
the thing is, though,
but again,
I'm gonna see it.
Yeah, exactly. Here's
that's
the thing.
Hilarious.
They're still gonna get our money. It doesn't matter.
Hilarious.
We're gonna go see it.
Like, I can't not go to this.
Yeah, it's
they got. That's why they made.
I know.
That.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm gonna sit here and bitch about it and still go.
Right.
They could have saved a lot of money and not made any trailers. We still would be in the movie theater.
That's so funny. My friend just said that. She's like, I know it's gonna suck, but I'm still gonna go see it.
They're still gonna get our money.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, mm-hmm. not my money.
You're not going to see it.
I take a stand on this one.
Yeah, this is it. This is your line in the line in Tatooine.
My line. Yes.
So, all right, let's go to the next trailer.
Oh.
The First Purge, ladies and gentlemen, the Purge prequel.
They're doing making it so they've made three Purges.
Yes. Now this is how it all started.
This is the
two models in a bathroom.
Yes. Yeah. And an alien invasion. Don't sure. like sound.
This is all the Purge gang, mm-hmm. but younger.
Yes.
Announcing the commencement of the First Purge.
Tonight trailer before the trailer. People a release for all the hatred and violence that they keep up inside them.
This won't bring him back. It won't make you feel any better.
Thank you. Where's the show, young Ethan Hawke?
It is a night that is defining our country.
I love Ethan Hawke.
Citizens, this will be a tradition we celebrate every year. Join the First Purge.
Isaiah, come say bye.
Go do your thing, sis.
Always.
I'll see you tonight.
People are now calling this controversial experiment of legalized crime the Purge.
Do not purge!
Do not purge!
You and Isaiah, just stay with me during the Purge.
Oh, we're gonna be fine on our own.
We are here with Dr. May Updale. She came up with this experiment. Is the Purge a political device?
It is a psychological one. If we want to save our country, we must release all our anger in one night.
Tonight, we'll see the good and evil in everyone.
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the First Purge.
Our neighborhood is under siege from a government who doesn't give a shit about any of us.
At the siren, all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 hours.
There's a lot of good people out there who we're going to have to protect.
All emergency services will be suspended.
We got to be prepared for anything.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
It's looking a lot parties, like the First Purge. First movie. Participation.
Human nature does not obey the laws of politics.
What the hell is going on?
Ex-military. Something funky going down, D.
You're sending soldiers into the island disguised as citizens.
This country needs for this to work.
Wait, didn't they do this in the third?
Coming to help us.
Yeah.
After tonight, nothing will ever be the same again.
They forgot about one thing. They forgot about us.
What have I done?
Oh, now you're regretting putting the Purge in motion?
Wait a minute. The most horrifying...
Maybe it wasn't such a good idea.
You know what?
I didn't think it through.
It was just a test. It was just a test market.
I just thought it was going to be a reality show.
Well, that's I like that shot.
So, this is a franchise that's kind of ran out of steam a couple movies ago, but now we're on number 4 as a prequel.
Well,
always liked the I liked the first one, liked the premise, and actually even the second one had its moments.
The
too.
Third one, I'll say this about the third one, introduced even more politics into it of how this is a political mm-hmm. thing, and it's the one percenters are getting rid of poor people and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And it sounds like this movie is just doing more of that.
More of the third.
But they're just doing it in Manhattan instead of LA.
Yeah. So I was looking, I'm like, I think I saw this in one of the other trailers, like some of these story points.
But so, I don't know. I've seen the first three.
They all make money.
Was it like in the hood? You know, like this one?
The second one was in the hood. The first one was in the nice suburbs with Ethan Hawke.
Right.
And then the third one was in Washington, right?
Well, the third one...
Weren't they protecting a senator or something?
Yeah, the third one is... Was
that the second one? I get them
No,
confused.
The third one was the protecting the senator.
Okay.
The second one, they went to downtown LA. So it was kind of the hood.
Uh-huh.
But
went on Skid Row or...
Yeah, it was kind of that like... And that was sort of what they were doing, why you saw. They started to reveal the real reasons that it wasn't just, that it was those in power were doing it like, oh, here's a solution to the homeless problem. You know, like, which I would.
Technically.
It would work. I mean. Yeah.
Would free up some room in the shelters.
I mean, you know, we've got a president that's probably open to this idea. Someone has pitched this.
Yeah,
he's in the Trump administration. Yeah. Someone has pitched this,
and it's probably like,
John Bolton.
Yeah,
I mean he's busy doing a fake war with Syria. But anyway,
and the underlying conversation is like, look, you don't need Congress. You could do whatever you want. You're president,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, look at all the wars they're doing without Congress. Yeah. they haven't used Congress since World War II.
That was the last declaration of a formal war.
It was the last formal declaration of war was World War II, so they could just purge it out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. they could figure out a way to make it something under the Patriot Act.
of course.
Put it under there.
Well, that's, believe me, when the next recession hits, and it's going to happen probably in the next 12 to 18 months, and there's going to be riots and stuff, they're going to...
Exactly. We'll figure it out.
Well, we learned a lot at Standing Rock.
Yeah,
so let's figure that out. They hired Tiger Swan.
Yeah.
Seriously, the government hired Tiger Swan, which is a private security company that they used in Iraq. Tiger Swan was hired for Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. And they...
Was Blackwater busy?
Yeah.
It's just little me.
Yeah. That's all they were doing.
Hiring Tiger Swan against me.
Were you up there at Standing Rock?
Well, no, but I kind of was in spirit.
But that's what they did. They hired Tiger Swan. So this is what the government has done. They hired Tiger Swan, and now they've hired they're trying to build a pipeline in Louisiana, and Tiger Swan, they blocked them from opening up a business. So Tiger Swan is trying to open fake businesses, like a woman that sort of used to work for Tiger Swan is starting her own company in states that are blocking her. So my point is
we're going to the purge.
The purge is happening, guys. Yeah. It will happen.
Definitely,
so I think the takeaway here is invest in mask companies. So,
and I think another takeaway is if you have 24 hours to just shoot anyone, that's going on in the hood anyways.
Yeah. Yep. So.
So
go see the purge, gang.
Yeah. The
welcome
prequel.
To the hood.
Find out how it all started.
And where it's going.
Now on DVD and Blu-ray, The Greatest Showman. Now, we actually talked about biopics, how, you know, speaking of a sugar-coated biopic, for sure, this was a musical about P.T. Barnum.
That's all you had to say, and I'm not going to go see it.
Yeah.
You don't like musicals?
It was a fun movie, for sure, but it's, you know, it way sugar-coated everything about P.T. Barnum, for sure.
He was pretty evil.
Yeah, it's... didn't really get into the way he ran his business or anything like that, but it kind of glorified the moments of basically they made him more of like a lovable kind of low level con artist, more of like a than a ruthless businessman,
kind of like Steve Jobs.
So
he's wore hoodies. He was fun.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
He wears white sneakers. So and Molly's Game. Now you saw this. You liked this
Molly's
one, right?
Game was Jessica Chastain's a really good actress. It's based on a true story. I'm sure they were hoping it was going to get a little more Oscar than it did, but it's worth watching. If you missed it this Oscar season, there's really good performances in it.
Yeah, it's definitely an Oscar week for releases. Mm-hmm. All the Money in the World also is coming out. You definitely want to check that one out. Phantom Thread you can skip. And I'll tell you, Proud Mary is one we were excited about when we were at LA Podfest. We showed the trailer. Everyone got really excited about it. It was literally in the movie theaters for maybe a week.
I know.
So it just came and went, got bad reviews. Aww. And it just, but it was a movie that like, oh, this looks really fun.
I'm going to see it.
So I didn't get a chance to see it. But I definitely want to see it.
I want to see it too.
I just want to see her kicking ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And her and her. Her walk-in gun closet. I want to see that.
That's pretty hot.
So,
Hashtag TPH.
Yeah.
What?
Hashtag TPH.
Yes. She's awesome. She's a really good actress. That's why I was excited to see this, because if you, like, look at who she was in Benjamin Button, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Benjamin, come to the house. You know, and now in this, she's like, it's on, you know, like leather boots and just thumping skulls. So I want to see that.
So, on the site spotlight, the fan feedback, I wanted to give a differing opinion on the Han Solo trailer on Facebook. John Wright wrote, if Star Wars nerds don't think that looks like a buttload of fun, then I don't want to hang out with any of them.
Oh, wow.
So, John's laying down the gauntlet. He thinks it looks great. So, differing opinion, happy to have it. So, if you want to put in an opinion on the Facebook page or the YouTube videos or now the Facebook live stream that you're watching right now, please do see what you think. Let us know what you think. And also premiering this week, another low-budget horror movie, Truth or Dare. Graham, it's only a game, but then it gets deadly.
Oh.
Truth or Dare.
I feel like deadly. I hosted a pilot for Truth or Dare 15 years ago.
And the next movie is...
No, that was... I did Pictionary. I did a Pictionary pilot.
Oh, really? That didn't get picked up?
Didn't get picked up. It's online somewhere, and I have some horrible clothes.
Yeah.
Really, like khakis, like way too baggy khakis and some awful collared shirt.
Was it the 70s?
Yeah, it was. I was like, I'm 75 years old.
You look great.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
You're like Chewbacca.
I am.
Yeah. For your age.
I also hosted a game show called Tribond.
Tribond?
It was a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get picked up.
Yeah, also because that's an indecipherable title for a game
because
show.
It made zero sense. No.
Tribond.
Tribond.
Mm.
And it was like the most convoluted, and I remember doing the game
like
show.
Are you a bondsman? Or
yeah, that's what it was.
It's, teams of three. How does this?
And it was so like, I remember reading the rules and just like, that's right. You get 3 points. You advance to the next round. Then your team can possibly. It was just like so convoluted. It made no sense. Weird that it didn't get picked up.
The next movie is Bayreuth. This is John Hamm's thriller. I wonder if it's like if him getting his Taken moving.
I don't think John Hamm needs to ask for a take-in.
Yeah.
But it did look kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
And it is different than what he's used to playing.
For sure.
You know, John Hamm, he's a good actress and he
is a good actress.
Actress.
Yes.
He is adorable. He is Hollywood's little sweetheart, John Hamm. I could just pinch his nose. He's like a puppy, he is.
Yeah, he's like cute as a button.
He is. He's cute as a button, little Johnny Hamm.
And the next movie is Overboard. This is a remake of the Goldie Hawn movie.
Why would you remake that movie?
And also, it's the trailer looks awful. If you check out the trailer, it's got Anna Faris in it as the in the Kurt Russell role. So they switch the genders. They switch
crazy.
It up. They switch it up.
Wow.
So
that was nuts.
But you know, so clearly that's all you have to do to get a remake. Now, we'll switch it up. It'll be different. I'm like. You know, I'll tell you.
Don't remake a shitty movie.
Yeah, it's...
Were they going to remake Volunteers?
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, you know, technically, yes, remake a shitty movie, make it better. So, yeah. You know, I'll tell you, the one thing about Overboard, the original Goldie Hawn movie, it wasn't a perfect movie, but it had its moments. Her and Kurt Russell together... Really funny.
You saw
really
that. Funny. I think isn't that the movie they fell in love on or something like that?
And they had just this chemistry, you know, them dealing with the kids. It was just, it had some really funny moments in it. So I can't for the life of me fathom why anyone thought a remake was a good idea. Or so. All right, that's it.
Wait, I want to say one thing.
Yes,
please.
Taraj, about the Proud Mary. The other movie she did was Hidden Figures, which was amazing.
Fantastic.
I love that movie. I watched it twice.
Yeah, she's great in that movie. Yeah.
Well, that's again, that shows her range. Mm-hmm. So she can do Benjamin Button, then she can do Hidden Figures, and then she can do Proud Mary. It's why I wanted to see Proud Mary.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
Because of her.
Because of her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's someone that...
She can carry a movie.
Yes.
In Hidden Figures, she carried that movie. I mean, there were a lot of great people in the movie as well. But she rocked in that.
What would you like to see her do?
A Transformers movie.
I'd like to see her do Star Wars. No.
Yeah.
You want her to play Han Solo. I get it.
I'd like a political flick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
I don't know.
Chappaquiddick.
I was...
She murders a white guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's having an affair.
Yeah,
she holds him.
The
she drowns him in the toilet.
Yeah.
As a dominatrix. Ooh, she'd
well,
be
see,
badass.
No, I would watch that if she was a dominatrix. I would absolutely
a Star Wars dominatrix.
George B. Henson as a Star Wars dominatrix.
Mm-hmm.
I now, like there's this. There's some
I like where this is going.
You.
And it's a political movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she murders a Kennedy? I mean, this movie just keeps getting better.
It's getting better and better. It's in the Cloverfield universe.
Yeah, and her monologue is, while she's drowning him, she's like, 10,000 strong. So I'm like, let's do this, homegirl.
Yeah, she just murders a Kennedy and goes, Proud Mary. But in a Kennedy accent?
With good hair.
Yeah, with great hair. Spotless hair.
All right, that is
that's our show. How about it? First ever live Facebook. Thank you, Facebookers.
We're almost through it.
We did it.
Mm-hmm.
Shoshone, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, go ahead.
Do you have a website or anything like that you want to promote? Or?
Well, no, not right now. I'm kind of working on it. The website I have is some bullshit, so.
You're revamping it?
Yes. I need another soundbite for that.
I would love it if corporations spoke that way. Why are you guys doing a rebrand? Add the old brand with some bullshit.
Straight up.
Yeah, exactly.
Bullshit. Yeah, we're going through wasn't working.
We focus grouped it, going through a revamp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Turns out our web guy was smoking too much weed.
Yeah, a lot of chronic. So
that's, you know what? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love, you know, weed. I don't smoke it, but hey, it's great. But it's just like sometimes you just want to say, damn, you smoke too much fucking weed. You know? Like, fucking handle your business. Yeah. I just gave you some money.
Get my website up.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So anyways, no, I don't have a website. But, you know, I have some old school Facebook, Shoshonia Livingston. And then my Twitter handle is at Shoshonia. So definitely follow that. And then you have a little, you want to do some marketing for me? You said you
I do. May 11th, see Shoshonia on the FNX Comedy Experience.
9 p.m.
So if you're not sure if you get FNX in your area, go to fnx.org and see if FNX is carried. If it isn't carried, email your local PBS and say, why don't you carry FNX? Because the more people that bug PBS, their local PBS channel, because that's how PBS is done. It's like local affiliates. It's like old, like old school. So then if you bug your local PBS affiliate and say, carry FNX, they hear enough people bug them, you'll start getting that, the first ever Native American stand-up comedy series.
Do it.
Yeah, and well, I love how there were actual Native comics. Sometimes they're just like, and here's a llama. Like, what the? That's not Native American. Well, it comes from South America. And it's indigenous to that area, so that's all we could find.
How was it like for you? You came to the first ever, the taping, and then you did your episode. What was it like doing the show?
Oh, it was great. It was great. I loved, you have a great staff.
Thank you.
Really cool people. I don't know, I just met you, so I don't know, I'm still thinking.
Yeah.
Chris might not be that great.
Chris, I don't know. Yeah. I like the shirt, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'll win you over eventually.
All right.
Yeah.
Chris is a slow burn.
Yeah.
Slow burn. Yeah. Part two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. I just wish there were more of them, you know? But how you brought all these different comics and stuff, I thought that was great, too. But I loved how there were more Native comics, which is just, I mean, the fact that they're coming from all over. And like I said before, just people would just be like, here's a chair. It's Native American. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not Native American. Well, it's redwood. And it's beautiful. And my grandfather said it was Cherokee. And I'm like, no.
Well, cool. I'm glad you had a good time. So, yeah, it's Tabitha Bohannon, who is the festival director for LA Podfest. So she's been great as the production manager / line producer, whatever you want to call it. She does everything. Mm-hmm. So thanks for doing the show, Shoshonia.
Thanks for having me.
We have two more tape days, April 13th and April 20th. The April 13th one is like a regular ticketed one. The April 20th one is at 1, and it's a high school's there. So I can't sell tickets to the general public, but if you want to come to that one, just hit me up, email me on social media or whatever, and I'll put you on the list and you can come in.
You'll comp in that shit?
I'll comp the shit out of that bitch. So two more tape days, April 13th and the 20th, out in the beautiful San Bernardino Valley College. And and then going on the road with Ron Placone, we're doing the Progressive Comedy Tour. May 9th, we're in Tempe, Arizona at the Improv. May 10th, we are in Pennington's Pub in Lake Havasu. May 11th in Vegas. May 12th in San Diego. See myself and Ron Placone, who's been on the show, doing some progressive comedy. If you're like, I think Trump's great, or I loved Hillary, this won't be the show for you.
Nope. It might challenge your views a little.
It's going to challenge. If you want to get your shit challenged, show up.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you like what's happening in Syria,
if you're like, yes, we absolutely should be going to war there. Mm-hmm. And Tucker Carlson is the only person in the mainstream media calling this out. We live in fucking crazy.
How did that happen?
How did that happen? He's the one guy saying, hey, this is bullshit.
Yeah, wow. Well, he'll get fired soon.
Yeah, he will. Absolutely. The deep state just made a phone call to Fox and said,
So I do want to mention, too, Conversations from the Abyss. The first season is still out. I'm working on the second season. 6 out of the 8 scripts are now written and will be in production in the next month or so. And it got some really cool episodes. It's kind of like I wanted to make an audio Black Mirror for like 15, 20 minutes at a time. So we'll be having the next season is coming up. A lot of you have been emailing and say, hey, what's going on with it? It's coming, I promise. So people get impatient over free content.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
All right. Thank you once again to Shoshone Livingston and Aaron Brungart on the Wheels of Steel at the All Things Comedy World headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.